Somewhere there are three commissioners. There's one I saw. Commissioner Fritz. We'll send security after her. How many people have signed up to testify, Carla? There she is. Who's going to do it? Okay. How many people signed up to testify?
It's still out there.
Okay. Can you grab it?
Yeah, would you?
Hi, Dixie.
Okay.
Thank you, Carla.
This is the substitute report.
Thank you very much.
We're just waiting for one more. How many of you went to the Blazer rally today? How many of you had to work?
Oh, that's
sorry, that's mean. It was a beautiful day. It's a great rally.
Dan.
Commissioner Saltzman is here. You're aware of the compromise? Okay.
We just handed it out.
Oh, we just handed it out.
Yeah, right there.
Oh. Randy and I will introduce it for discussion.
This is the something.
Someone crank up the light, Sam.
Did somebody?
I'm asking,
I don't know. I'm out of the light business.
Hey, Sam, we were watching Channel 30 before things started, and they're running as a loop. Your speech.
29. Yeah.
I mean, look, it's a compelling speech. and
but not that compelling.
I have said to my staff, that is oratory, but please.
Yeah, please.
Can we rotate it?
I think you've got me more than beat in the oratory department.
Yeah. He's giving me all the packets. But this
all right. We really do need Commissioner Leonard now, if he's watching cable TV in his office.
We have 29 people.
29 people have signed up. So times three. Let's see. 1, 2, 3:30 in the morning. So. So that would be three, be hour. And Commissioner Fritz is whispering in my ear, that's why we're having an evening meeting. The architect of our evening meetings, Commissioner Amanda Fritz. Thank you.
This, I think, may be our first ever Thursday evening hearing. Thank you for coming.
And for these evening meetings, as soon as I can get the facilities to change the sign outside the doors, we will allow food and beverage.
Ooh.
We, of course, violate that rule up here for years, but I should clarify, we will let you have food and beverage. Seems a little fairer that way. No, multiple vendors.
No gum.
As long as they are headquartered in the Russell... East Portland, okay. Are we ready, Mr. Scarlett?
Yes, we are.
Okay, there he is. All right, give him a round of applause.
End of the hour.
Oh, we lost another one. Oh. Anyway, Carla, will you, Carla, will you please call the roll?
Fish, Saltzman, Leonard,
here.
Oh. Fritz,
here.
Adams.
Here. Our agenda item tonight is item number... For those of you keeping track.
438.
Carla, would you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 438?
Accept the plan and recommendations on consolidation of all permitting into the Bureau of Development Services.
Thank you, Carla. Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, and thank you to everybody that has come here tonight for this really, truly very important discussion about permitting construction in Portland. I apologize for coming in late, but we literally were just printing off the latest versions of what we're going to be discussing tonight. The last few days, Commissioner Fish, Mayor Adams, myself, our staffs, and principals at the city have been discussing some of the concerns that we've heard and attempting to reasonably address those that we agreed needed to be addressed and those that we didn't think were reasonable we have left in the original ordinance. So what we are proposing now as a substitute report, which there are copies of, Carla, you have? You have how many?
We set additional copies over there.
There are some copies over here. Carla has the three copies. But I will explain to you just in general terms the changes that the staff sitting at the table in front of me will go into more detail on. But essentially, Commissioner Fish and I and Mayor Adams' office worked on these until just moments ago to have them ready. And the essence of the change is that we heard loud and clear that a number of people were concerned, maybe not so much about the transfer of employees to the 1900 building, but the actual literal reassignment of them to the Bureau of Development Services. So what we are proposing here is co-location, but they would report back to their original Bureau's chain of command, but with some caveats. And the caveats are really performance measurements that Paul and Andy Peterson up here will get into in some more detail along with Ty. But essentially, some part of the concern that has existed for years in development in the city is the inordinate length of time it takes to have some decisions made. And where that's unavoidable, it's unavoidable, and we need to understand that. Where it is as a result of factors that the city can control in terms of reducing timelines, we need to address that. And this report makes those requirements of those other bureaus to address specific timeline concerns. And finally, we will meet back in 1 year, July 1st, 2010, to assess what happened in the upcoming year in terms of how well this performed, and assess at that time whether or not the system that we are experimenting with starting this July 1st works well, and if so, what needs to be done to improve it. But on July 1st, 2010, the city will make a final decision as to whether or not to proceed to full consolidation. I want to thank Commissioner Fish and his staff for their really creative thinking, particularly today, in helping us find this middle ground, and ask Commissioner Fish if he'd like to say anything.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. I am first want to begin by thanking and saluting you and Mayor Adams for your leadership on this issue. And there's a number of people on the team that have done yeoman's work. I'd like to just thank them as well, starting with Paul Scarlett and Ty Kovach, Andy Pearson, Anna DiBenedetto, and Hannah Kuhn in particular. We would not be at the place we are today without your exemplary work. The proposal which we are submitting for consideration today, I call Co-location Plus. It incorporates some of the best ideas that have been developed by a variety of stakeholders, public and private. And in my judgment, it gives us the best path at this time to meet a number of the very ambitious goals you've set out for this process. And they include strengthening and improving our current permitting system,
creating new and verifiable performance measurements, and enhancing the system of checks and balances, which ensures that the concerns of all stakeholders are addressed in the permitting process. Again, this particular proposal would not be possible without the leadership of Mayor Adams and Commissioner Leonard. I want to thank you both, and I am pleased to join with you in presenting this to our colleagues for consideration.
At this point, if do you have anything you'd like? Do we need to do it?
Yeah. Is that a motion?
Commissioner, is that a motion? I don't know who to.
I would move the substitute.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to substitute the original council calendar item for this package. Is there additional? Well, we'll have obviously the substitute means that the discussion now is on the substitute. So, Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion is approved.
So now I would turn it over to the Bureau of Development Services Director, Paul Scarlett. Along with him is Andy Peterson, one of his top managers at the Bureau, and my Chief of Staff, Ty Kovach. Paul?
Good evening, and thank you, Commissioner Leonard, Mayor Adams, and Council members. Paul Scarlett, Bureau of Development Services Director. I am excited to be in front of you and to present on the report that has been revised, but a number of the elements and objectives are still in place. And for many years, certainly 12, 15 years, we've heard from our customers, we've heard from the public about the permitting system and the number of things that do work well and identifying things that haven't worked well or things that have been missing. And we have, through Mayor Adams' resolution back in January, researched and really analyzed the current permitting and plan review system. And we're able to formulate a report that incorporated a number of factors aimed at efficiencies, aimed at increased coordination, aimed at accountability, aimed at conflict resolution, and aimed at enhancing training for staff in the form of policy coordination and solution-oriented approaches. The city, as you all know, we're a proud city. We're known for our livability. We're known for recycling. We're known for our environmental qualities. And as with a lot of other things, how we develop as a city and the regulations that are in place is tantamount to how successful and how attractive this city is. We've been in the business of regulating development since 1892. And the first building permit was issued in 1905, just way of context.
It took that long to approve the building permit?
So this is nothing new. We've been at this for some time, and certainly, and a lot of us have years of experience in this business. And we also have years of experience in working with our customers and trying to improve upon what's here. I believe one of the things that's real centered in this revised, updated report is that there is mutual objective in achieving an improved system. And we have details about what that means in the recommendation to council, and with the effective date being July 1st for some of the objectives. But really at the heart of this is we want to be known not just as the city that works, but the city that works well together. And we have the opportunity in front of us to continue to work closely as interagency partners, as customers, neighborhood association, and the various entities that play a large role in how well the city is developed, how well the permitting and plan review processes are managed and promoted. And so I'd like to turn to Andy Peterson, who will go into some of the more details of the recommendation in front of you, and as well as Ty Kovach. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Hello, Commissioners. Andy Peterson, Manager, Bureau of Development Services, Permitting Services Section. Our recommendation this evening captures some of the key components of the initial report that was provided a week ago. The elements here, I think, are those that are in common. I think the interagency team that was formed as part of the original aspect of the resolution came to an agreement on many of these things, many of these issues, in that there are concerns that can be resolved by having staff work more closely together, by working with consistent timelines, having a clear and transparent process, being able to find resolution to conflicts. All of those pieces are involved in the recommendations that we're providing here. I think the number of staff moving to the 1900 building remain effectively the same. I think there's a 2 or 3 individual difference. I think the intent is to have the work take place at the Bureau of the Development Services building at 1900 4th Avenue. The intent is to try to have people be able to come in, get their needs and concerns met in one spot for their development review process. As far as the recommendations that we're proposing at this time is to co-locate people as opposed to transfer and absorb them into the Bureau of Development Services. I think this meets and matches some of the concerns that were addressed early on or expressed early on by both the interagency and oversight committees that were formed. Both those groups provided us with guidance and information and insight as to how the work could progress. We've taken that to heart. We've worked with Commissioner Fish as well as Commissioner Leonard's office, the mayor's office, to come to this conclusion. I think based on that, our recommendations include the co-location of the programs and personnel to accomplish those review processes that are inherently addressing the needs of the development review process. The development of the employee transition and support plan for folks that are moving to the building will continue to exist. It's important to us to be able to have those folks feel like they're not isolated, that they're able to enhance their own careers and their own objectives by working closely with the Bureau of Development Services staff and actually see a little bit different perspective from the development services staff, including inspectors, plan review, et cetera, get a broader gamut of experience in the development process. There was certainly mention of creating an effective conflict resolution measure. We would anticipate that continue to move forward in this revised process, as well as establishing turnaround times and meeting those turnaround goals for plan review for both building permits and establishing and meeting turnaround times for public works permitting, which has been a concern that's been voiced from both the development community as well as internal staff in getting those permits moving forward in a timely basis and getting decisions made on those. There's a expression of trying to get at least a standardized approval for systems development charges, whether it's so that as you come in the door, you understand what you're expected to submit, what the programs can provide for the applicant as far as the same waiver programs for low-income proposals, SDC deferrals, and SDC financing. The cost associated with, again, the co-location, as with the original proposal, was to have those borne by the infrastructure bureaus or the bureaus moving into the Bureau of Development Services building. That would remain the same. A year from now, we would report back to council on the effectiveness of this co-location experiment trial run on this and see how well things have progressed, how the improvements have been made, and to continue that in that vein or to look at efficiencies and effective measures for the forthcoming year. I think, in essence, that's kind of the resolution at this point. Is our recommendation is to try to move those pieces forward. It's basically the plan in a synopsis to try to pull together the benefits of consolidation without actually transferring individual positions or programs into the Bureau of Development Services, having those be retained within the bureaus, the home bureaus, the infrastructure bureaus as they exist today.
Thank you, Andy. Did you have anything to add to that?
The only thing I would add is just in the broader context of this discussion, it has been.
What's your name?
My name is Ty Kovach. I'm Commissioner Leonard's chief of staff. Thank you, sir. The broader context of this is that only in this room necessarily do we consider that the permitting system is PBOT and BES and BDS and water and parks and all the various entities that touch a permit on its way through the system. And from the general public's perspective and from our customers' perspective, it is the city. And so the endeavor that we're trying to undertake with this report is to address the stated concern that maybe there's another way to get to the goal that consolidation pursues, which is a more functional permitting system, and to agree that we'll give that a shot. But in concert with that, we add to that a series of steps that can be taken by the various bureaus that are involved to develop a system that, even if the bureaus aren't under a single authority, they have a fairly uniform and common approach to delivering their services, which to the public appear to be relatively similar in making sure our infrastructure is developed in a thoughtful way, in making sure our buildings are constructed in a thoughtful way, in making sure they're done in areas of the city where it's appropriate. And so in our thought, this is a good opportunity for the infrastructure bureaus to really make the case that they've been making with their words so far, that we can get there without going to full consolidation by taking the steps that are outlined in the report. And so we'll just be ready for questions if you have.
Discussion from council. Commissioner Fritz.
First, I commend Commissioner Leonard and Commissioner Fish for coming forward with this revised proposal. Are there any new positions created?
Not in the scope of this proposal.
And do we have an estimate for how much the moving costs will be?
The estimate for the moving costs will be, we do. The estimate for the moving costs, including all the proposal, will be approximately $250,000, which is a tad less than what our original proposal was.
And can you talk to me a little bit about why land use reviews are included in the co-location proposal?
Part of the reason for the land use reviews being included is so that those staff are there to actually answer the questions and work coordinatedly with the and cooperatively with the people that are doing the plan review, the people that are doing the land use reviews, that are compiling the land use reviews. Primarily the infrastructure bureaus provide information to the land use planner. To date, while timelines may be met, oftentimes the information is less coordinated than it could be. We're trying to improve on that. We're trying to look at this as a collaborative experience, a coordinated experience between the land use planners that are writing the report, as well as those that are providing information to that planner. Having them back at the Portland building increases the chasm between that information flow, as well as, frankly, it's difficult to have that information at hand at all times while those folks are back at the Portland building doing, if they're working in that arena. So having them in the Portland, in the 1900 building, gives them a proximity to the information and to the solutions that are being contemplated and finally concluded at that stage.
And how do you see them maintaining their links with the policies being discussed in the bureaus?
Very similar to how they are now. I think that the policy pieces are probably not moving in some ways as fast as the land use cases are. Therefore, a greater expanse between their check-in is probably sufficient. It's not like we're going to build a wall between those land use planners at the 1900 building and those at the Portland building. It's just that the day-to-day activities and the intensity of the work on the land use cases is relatively high and can be fast and needing frequent check-ins with the land use planner, so that the latest rendition or the latest version of the proposal can be reviewed and commented on.
So under number three, where it says create an effective conflict resolution process to address policy and code conflicts between bureaus, might that include feedback from the Development Review Advisory Committee to the Development Review Advisory Committee to the Planning Commission to the Stormwater Advisory Committee oversight? Is that part of what you're thinking in terms of concept conflict resolution?
I think that could be part of it. I think that there's an intent there to have the infrastructure bureaus expand on that. What is it that they can do now, and what can they look towards in the future to help that work better than it does today? Because right
that's
now
that's part of that discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, and we don't have a timeline for that. We just, but that's so that's part of the work program.
Part of the work program for okay. the upcoming year, right?
Thank you. And then final question for now. There has been some letters of concern about the forestry inspectors moving to the land use moving to the 1900 building. Mm-hmm. Wondered if you could address that concern, that they do other things other than land use reviews and permit reviews.
Sure. I in speaking with the tree inspectors from Urban Forestry and the Parks Bureau, we've had a conversation on some of their emergency response pieces, which was the only item that was highlighted to me from their concern. And I think we've reached a beginning of an understanding on the fact that their services, much like others within the city, are on an emergency basis, are necessary for the safety of the city, the occupants, the citizens here. And we wouldn't want to impinge upon their first response to those emergencies. It's much like our staff currently responds to floods and other disasters, not only here but in surrounding communities. We would anticipate that same occurring with the urban foresters.
Thank you.
Any other discussion from council for this panel? All right. Is there any other panelists invited?
There is not.
Okay.
No, but sorry, I wanted to, I was remiss in not acknowledging the, some of the committees that worked on with us and getting a report. I would like to first thank you, Mayor Adams and Commissioner Leonard, for your support and direction in moving towards developing a proposal for improving the permitting system. And Commissioner Salzman and Commissioner Fritz and, of course, Commissioner Fish, for your support as well. We worked closely with interagency team that was members from the Infrastructure Bureaus of Water Bureau, Transportation, BES, fire and parks. And those were pretty interactive sessions over the course of 4 months. As well, we met with oversight committee that was made up of members of the community with different interests focus. And the group was facilitated by Rebecca Esau, who did a splendid job in facilitating those discussions, compiling information of concerns. That's part of what's been presented here, as well as Lisa Kaur, who assisted in our communication work. And I would definitely be embarrassed to not mention and thank Andy Peterson, who worked tirelessly over this period of time, put in various versions of a report together and working closely with us.
So, including evenings and weekends.
And weekends, yeah. And I was there with them some of those. So thank you.
Thank you both.
Thank you both very much. All right, let's...
Do you have more? I did ask COPIA and DCTU if they would like to come up as a panel. Are those folks present?
Mark? Buzz? John? Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you. Welcome.
Stick around.
Well...
Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here.
All right.
All you have to do is give us your name.
All right.
You'll have an unlimited amount of time to talk.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
My name is Mark Bellow, President of COPIA. Our address is P.O. Box 536, Portland, Oregon, 97207. COPIA is an interesting organization. Like the council, we don't have one particular bureau that we represent or one particular bureau's interest or one particular classification. We have members in almost every bureau. Parenthetically, let me say that you can ignore the testimony that I'm providing you in writing because it is no longer relevant. Those are all the good reasons why you did what you may be doing tonight.
Mayor, that's the first time I remember during my service that someone appearing before us has told us to disregard their testimony. That's right. I think we're setting a healthy precedent.
We are pleasantly surprised. So we represent members, professionals, and environmental services, transportation, water, as well as development services, not parks. We, in our testimony, and still do support the January resolution that called for improving development review. We thought we could provide the most value to you tonight by basically being a little bit administrative in thinking and talk about that resolution and how we grant success or get to success. That resolution is about timeliness, predictability, consistency, transparency, and accountability. Accountability to us is an important issue that was most likely to be hurt in the sense of not thinking out the whole process of co-location consolidation. And that's because accountability is a very tricky issue. You have accountability, meaning the city, to both the permit seeker and to the neighbor, to the neighborhood, in a sustainable sense to future generations, because so much development has elements of sustainability versus short-term profit. So our comments were that we think that co-location and the process where a neighborhood advocate or an environmentalist, a person who's very interested in sustainability and sees some flaws or some possibilities perhaps in an adjustment request, which is a request to vary the code, can talk to not just the implementer, the BDS planner, but actually can have that conversation with the environmental engineer and those, say, in BES who might have been interested in stormwater issues. So we thought there was a danger in the original proposal in saying that we will get too process-oriented. We will not be able to have that conversation about not just what is best for the process, what is the financial aspect of this project, but what happens if we don't go for perhaps that stormwater proposal with a longer time frame and a longer payoff. So we thought it was really important that you consider providing for that, and I think this proposal, I celebrate the proposal because I think it provides a very measured way to address those administrative issues. And in terms of consistency, we still look to Blueprint 2000 to be fully implemented. There were so many difficult issues there about coordination. The funny thing about Blueprint 2000, of course, was as part of it, we built a building up the hill, so we automatically decreased coordination. The number of times in which there is one planner in one place, an engineer in another place, and you simply can't get together is a problem. So we think that this next year will really provide an opportunity to solve some of those physical problems. I thank you for reducing the cost because, as you know, COPIA has put on the table a proposal that we work fewer hours for less pay in an attempt to help the city with its budget concerns. And we think spending money wisely is much more valuable than laying people off. And finally, and the reason I gave you this rehashed or rephrased presentation is I have to tell you that, unfortunately, COPIA and our members were not part of the process. It was very disappointing. Managers were invited. Managers are not part of COPIA. My members often had very legitimate concerns and ideas that they were not actually part of the conversation. So we have a specific request that COPIA be part of any oversight committee, not just be allowed to attend, not be told that's the union's position, because I guarantee you that we will put on our administrative hat and we will help the city succeed, because as professionals, we really want to get past the hurdle. We really want to provide better service to not only the development community, but to the neighborhood and to our members, you know, in terms of a career advancement.
Mr. Beadle, thank you for that.
Yes. My name is Richard Beadle. I am a business manager for Laborers Local 43. I want to thank the mayor and the commissioners for allowing us to step forward and talk about this issue. I'd like to put a little correction in. I'm not the spokesperson for the DCTU. That's James Hester. He's a colleague of mine, and where I greatly admire him, I'm not him. So I am the secretary treasurer of the DCTU, but not its spokesperson. I'm here to speak in interest of laborers, Local 43, and our concerns. We have three contracts with the city. We have the rec contract, we have the DCTU contract, and we have the seasonal contract. And so it's in their interest that I am concerned. And my concern is mainly anxieties and fears because of the unknown. I would like to look at the new proposal. It sounds like it might address some of my fears and anxieties, which I hope it does. But let me share with you the reason I was concerned. I represent 8 forestry inspectors currently working at Urban Forestry in the Parks Bureau. I understand that 3 of those 8 forestry inspectors were due to be transferred to BDS. Now, the permit consolidation report did not address the impact that the consolidation has on our urban forestry services. Here's where 43's concerns lie. Urban forestry now performs multiple jobs. Expert technical advisors, coordinators, and instructors for parks, for street managers, for community groups, and property owners. Inspectors, reviewers of public and private tree plans, utilities, buildings, land use permits, tree removal, and planning permits. They are also the first responders to a tree emergency. The 3 forestry inspectors who would go to BDS now respond to citywide community and property owners' needs, but in the future would focus on more development and permitting. Compared to other bureaus that are involved, this looks like a big impact on a small but very important program. Who will help communities clean up after windfalls and after the next big storm? The Park Bureau's Budget Advisory Committee ranked tree maintenance as the 3rd highest priority of the 31 park services in the proposed 2009-2010 budget. While improving permit services, we hope the council will also prioritize keeping this basic city service intact. It's in light of the Oversight Committee's many concerns that council may wish to take more time to refine this proposal, which it has, which I champion. Whether the council decides to take more time or to act now on full permit consolidation, Local 43 would respectfully request that you carve out the urban forestry component until you have more time to assess the impact on this valuable service. We want to make sure that in the process of improving one bureau, we're not destroying the ability of another to respond to emergency services. This is my more narrow view of this consolidation. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Now we can go to the sign-up.
Thank you.
So you will have 3 minutes tonight, but trust me, you can say in 2 minutes very effectively what can be said in 3. Just eliminate all the prepositions. Okay.
First 3 are Bridget Baer, Jim Labby, and Doris Weller.
You sure?
No, I will. Thank you. And they'll be followed by Carrie Schilling, Martin Medeiros, and Alicia J. Reese.
Good evening. Welcome to the City Council. You only need to give us your first and last name.
I'm Bridget Baer. I work part-time for the Portland Community College Small Business Development Center. And I'm a business owner in Portland. I have been for 12 years. I had Bridges Cafe on MLK. Many of you may have been there, and it's doing well. Thank you. It was a huge struggle to open the restaurant. I was a first-time small business restaurant owner. I'd been in the business for 20 years already, so I had a lot of experience there, but not in owning and developing a business. It was a real eye-opener and a huge challenge. I did have a great bit of support, actually, from the City of Portland, getting it open, even the inspectors. It was a huge challenge. Right now, what I do for a living is I work with small business owners starting their business, expanding, growing their business. Our center in Portland has 30 advisors. Right now, I have 40 clients. We served over 900 clients last year collectively in the year 2008. The economy has forced a lot of people out of a job, but into the small business ownership role. And so in the last 3 months, we've already served 450 clients in our center. And we help people open their business. We send people to the City of Portland, as well as many other resources here that are available to assist business owners. So I want to encourage you to consolidate the permitting process. It will make a huge difference in their success.
So we're going to set we're going to set the clock for two unless you tell us you want three, and if you want three, we'll give it to you.
Yeah, okay.
I'll go with three.
Thanks for the warning.
My name's Jim Labby, I'm on staff.
Hey,
good evening.
Good evening. Adams. Welcome. Glad you're here.
My name is Jim Labby. I'm on staff at Audubon Society of Portland. I'm also a six-year member of the Johns Creek Watershed Council, and they've asked me to speak on their behalf tonight. And I hadn't had time to look certainly at the new proposal, and haven't had a lot of time to look at the original one either. But I'm here to really impress on you the importance of maintaining independent review, the technically formed and grounded in the local knowledge of the community. In the review of development applications, particularly as it relates to enforcing the city's environmental safeguards. I'm the chair of the Land Use Committee with the Watershed Council, and we review a lot of development applications from across the five cities and two counties to cover the watershed. And I can't press on you more the importance of having this connection to the local knowledge in the community around these natural resources. And BES staff, they provide a real critical, in the development review process, a critical source of technical knowledge, a harbor of technical knowledge relating to the watershed, and a liaison to the Watershed Council's local knowledge. And on numerous occasions, I've experienced situations where BS staff that's located in the Bureau where they're doing a range of planning and restoration work can bring to bear information from the Watershed Council, from their technology, that is really critical to identifying unmapped streams, seeps, areas, things that wouldn't have been identified, guarantee, if it was up to BDS. So having that separation of powers, having the sources of information, having the community, the process liaison to the community to provide that information is one of the real values of the existing process. And I understand that there's always this press to make the development review process go faster. The natural processes that the city is trying to protect and safeguard through applying its environmental rules operate over decades or centuries or more. It is worth the time to get the information to make sure development happens a way that doesn't degrade the environmental values of our urban watersheds and our investments, substantial investments we're making in enhancing and restoring those watersheds. So I think a lot of delay problems have to do with staffing, understaffing, and I think there's solutions, other solutions that really need to be explored. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate your testimony and the desire to achieve the city's goals and policies related to the environment. Both the natural environment and the built environment are really important and a key motivation for me to seek reform. And one thing that's not on the list but is in the sort of accompanying material, and that is this city doesn't have performance measures for attainment of our policies related to the environment. And we only keep in terms of permitting. And my expectation with this reform is that we'll start to do that, that it shouldn't be solely based upon independent judgment. And we've got great folks in our systems. So I expect that to move forward. And the other thing just to sort of put out there is, as someone who wants us to be not just the greenest, you know, city, the most sustainable city in the nation, which we are ranked consistently near the top, but there are a lot of cities and regions nip it at our heels, you know, and I want us to push further on international standards, is some of the complaints I get the loudest and most consistently are from some of the greenest developments that developers seek to undertake here in the city. So my hope is that with this change, and this is a great change, that we will see progress on both accountability against goals, environmental goals, and we will also see the ability of our system to better deal with the innovations around sustainable buildings. So thank you for being here today.
I think I can do this in 2 minutes.
Great.
My name is Darius Weller. And for me, one of my greatest concerns is the cost of the project. It would seem at a time of budget crisis that it's not wise to consolidate under BDS all development review, permitting, and planning services and incur a large expense in doing so. The low estimate of $640,000, which I just heard was revised down to $250,000 for the actual moving expenses, only included $40,000 for the technical costs of that move, which could be greatly more. I've heard of estimated costs to actually operate that consolidation have been $2 to $3 million. I don't know if that's a correct figure or not, but it just seems that to be ludicrous to me at this point when considering our education system, our transportation systems, and our immediate need to attain sustainability or attention for sustainability in order to save our planet, all desperately need to receive greater priority than this consideration. My second point was rendered moot by the amendment. Thank you for that. Although I might like to add that as far as being in two buildings, I think the U.S., as I can well attest to, needs exercise. And walking between those two buildings might do us all some good. And another point is if you did drive, you were lucky enough to get a three-hour parking meter, you probably are still going to have to move that car. So, again, it warrants moving. And my last point would be that there needs to be review done by the Development Review Committee, the Planning Commission, along with community input to the validity of this proposal as to whether or not the proposal will meet the intended goals. And some serious discussion needs to take place before the consolidation of departments proceeds any further in a potentially huge and I guess maybe now reversible, but at great expense to reverse it, expensive mistake occurs. I think we need to get our priorities straight. Let's try to save our planet first.
Thanks for your testimony, all of you. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Carla?
The next three are Carrie Schilling, Martin Medeiros, Alicia J. Reese, and they'll be followed by Doug Klotz, Kendra Smith, and Corky Collier.
Mayor, if I may, I omitted a person in my initial thanks that I regret. I want to just acknowledge the work of Sarah Petrosini. I regret that I left her off the list. She was instrumental to the work we did this afternoon.
Thank you, Sarah. Hi, welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. You just need to give us your first and last name.
Okay. I am Carrie Schilling. Glad to be here tonight. I am testifying today on behalf of the Development Review Advisory Committee as the present vice chair of that committee. We have issued written testimony, which I believe you all have, in the form of a letter signed by myself and the committee chair, Steve Hyteen. This letter outlines the committee's majority opinion of support of the development review and permitting consolidation plan that was dated April 9th. This letter speaks to our approval of the plan and acknowledges the concerns voiced in opposition of a few members of our committee. I'm also testifying today personally as a practicing architect and development team member. Citizens and professionals have been working for years to encourage a consolidated development review system and have time and again expressed concerns surrounding problems that this plan aims to solve. Other plans have been proposed only to fall short due to bureau resistance and lack of initiative. We now have a mayor and commissioners that have brought this important issue to the surface and have initiated this step in the right direction. Consolidation shifts the burden of conflict resolution off the applicant, the Bureau's customers, and onto a body with proper abilities to effect resolution. Under the current systems, applicants faced with contradicting bureaus must work through a silo system of regulators using a system of appeals and lobbying methods, often working amongst controversial issues and within processes with no timelines or concerns of impact outside their own regulations. As we as a city move forward toward a denser urban fabric, those areas of conflict between the bureaus will only become more pronounced. This transition will be difficult. Bureaus' cultures will shift and clash, and folks will be forced to work through some conflicting issues, those same issues and conflicts that the bureaus expect the applicants, their customers, to deal with at every turn today. Please take the step toward a more effective review process. It's long overdue.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Martin.
Hello. My name is Martin Medeiros, and I'm here today speaking on behalf as a small business on behalf of the Small Business Advisory Council as its chairman. The SBAC's purpose is to identify and review regulations, policies, and issues that affect small business formation, capital formation, job creation, growth, and prosperity. The current BDS proposal seeks to incorporate SBEC's suggestions and those of other partners. The SBEC believes that this node, if approved, will help create and retain family wage jobs, help small businesses in their development, and aid the city's economic recovery by delivering a development permitting system that increases responsiveness, efficiency, accountability, and is also clear, concise, and understandable for users of the system. Why is this consolidation being proposed now? Because time is running out for some businesses. These are businesses that are considering locating in Portland but decided to go elsewhere because of the current diffused permitting process made it impossible for these businesses to get information they needed to make informed decisions in a timely manner. Diffused permitting is unfair. Ambiguity and opacity in fee setting is oppressive in general. If fees cannot be determined by asking a series of consolidated questions, then they cannot be evenly applied, and that is unfair. The SBEC appreciates that implementing this proposal that is the subject of today's hearing will not be an easy task. It will take time and require interagency cooperation. But SBEC has worked with many of these agencies to solve other problems and believes the city is up to the task. In this budget cycle and business cycle, many bureaus are concerned with delivery of service. Paul Scarlett, who leads BDS, uses a different phrase, as you heard today, customer service. He knows that his customers will lead the way out of this recession. Any agency that sees business as an adversary has not been to SBEC meetings, who can listen to people like Paul. The SBEC is focused on problem solving, as are the agencies that regularly attend these meetings. Therefore, SBEC fully supports any proposal by BDS's leadership that shares our mission and understands the role of small business in restoring prosperity to the city through job creation and growth. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Hi.
Hi, I'm Alicia Reese, and my comments were written before the many amendments. I represent the Woodland Park Neighborhood Association, and I'm originally opposed to the permit consolidation ordinance. The neighborhoods have not been informed of the impacts the ordinances will have or the impacts to the bureaus and their operations in relationship to neighborhoods. The cost of the reorganization, it's really not a consolidation, is now, we know, $250,000, as they have been identified. What percentage, for example, will come from the Parks Bureau budget? How will this reorganization influence neighborhood land use committees, parks committees, transportation committees, and urban renewal advisory committees? And at what cost will these neighborhood groups be impacted? Where will these additional expenses come from? The process for the reorganization has not really been completed, as we've witnessed tonight, with it coming hot off the press. And the outreach to the neighborhood coalitions, school districts, and East Portland business associations has not been performed. The major question is, and with regards to my neighbor, the major question is why, and why now? What emergency exists which bypasses the acceptable and best practices of the current outreach system? While Woodland Park has experienced both successes and challenges from the current permit and enforcement system, there's been no emergency demonstrated or circumstances steamrolling this ordinance today for such a swift and unmeasured action. Hold on, slow down, and consider the users, all of the users of the system, before you dismantle it and expect bureaus to continue operating normally with this extensive retrofitting of personnel. Who will pay for it? And thank you again for having an evening meeting.
Thank you for your testimony. Carla, the next three
are Doug Klotz, Kendra Smith, and Corky Collier. They'll be followed by Linda Nedekoven, Bonnie McKnight, and Aaron Kelly.
Good evening. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here.
Good evening.
You probably know the drill.
I'll try for three. Douglas Klotz. I'm a longtime pedestrian advocate in the city, and I had quite a few concerns about the proposal up until tonight. I still have some concerns, but certainly a lot of concerns are relieved by this proposal tonight. Especially, of course, I'm concerned about how transportation permitting decisions will be affected by this co-location. and it certainly it's not as much concern as the previously, but it's have the interaction between the folks doing the permitting and all the other folks in PDOT are one of my main concerns. As I don't think any of the very few transportation permitting decisions, I mean some minor ones, but a lot of them draw from several different disciplines. I mean the permitting official has to know about transportation engineering and construction and the pedestrian design guide, Title 17, the AASHTO Green Book. There's decisions that a lot of influences from other sources that I understand that the permitting staff deal with regularly, including all most of their colleagues. And so it's still a concern that they'll be many blocks away. Hopefully that can be worked through. And the Pedestrian Advisory Committee, of which I remember, has been working closely with Kurt Kruger and the permitting staff on making sure that we get the best pedestrian facilities with construction permits that we can. Kurt's also been working on an initiative to try to come up with a coherent way to deal with infill construction and sidewalks, and hopefully he can work on that now without the distraction of this other issue, which has now been somewhat relieved by this proposal tonight. So I thank you for proposing the proposal that we see, and hopefully all these concerns can be kept in mind.
Thanks for your testimony. Hi.
Hi. My name is Kendra Smith, and I'm a professional ecologist, a small business owner here in the city of Portland, a citizen, and also a member of the Urban Forestry Commissioner. I was, as a member of the Urban Forestry Commission, I've been asked by my colleagues to speak today to you about the consolidation plan. After working closely with planners for over 15 years, developing natural resource policies and projects out in Washington County, and successfully permitting and building my own eco-friendly home, I did make it through BDS without a problem. I think I have some relevant insight regarding the ordinance in regard to the consolidation and permitting and review at BDS. You know, I applaud the desire to streamline and be efficient. I believe very strongly in that as a citizen. But the reality is that building high-quality, sustainable communities takes time. And planners are geared towards balancing the interests of those that participate in the development process. They're not experts in this field of natural resources, parks, stormwater, forestry, transportation, or even the fire code. It's the experts that they are created within the respective bureaus because they are surrounded by the collective wisdom of the organizational unit that's designed to address the need. So it's really important, I think, that you take into consideration the need to retain the autonomy of the expert, and this shift will erode that. Also looking at maintaining the staff at their respective bureaus, because when you take them out of context, they lose a lot of their expertise from their surrounding individuals. And then also the need to accommodate the ebb and flow of the development demands and being able to accommodate staffing. So I'll stop there.
Thank you for your testimony. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And as a member of the Urban Forestry Commission, can you comment on the issue of the forestry folks going into development services being absent from parks?
Sure. That was actually the main thrust for the Urban Forestry Commission. They were concerned about both what the role we would play now, because we normally get acts as an appeal body for tree cutting denials on public property, and we're not sure like what role the commission will play now and in the future. And then the other big concern was the loss of boots on the ground in terms of those inspectors being shifted over to permitting. So those were two aspects. So the commission did request, as of 10:30 this morning, I don't know if they're still there now with the new proposal, but they were requesting for a deferral of the decision until adequate time was given for public review.
Thank you very much. And I want to thank everybody both for being here tonight and also those of you, many of you who sent in testimony ahead of time, which I think has been helpful in helping to shape this. So I don't know if there's an opportunity. I hope there's always an opportunity to continue developing things as we move forward. So that's certainly something for us to consider. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Corky.
Hi, my name is Corky Collier. I'm executive director of the Columbia Corridor Association. I'll abbreviate my remarks because of the recent